I want you to think back on either your mentoring session. So you think of your mentoring session, maybe your small group meeting or your one-on-one discipleship. Just pick one of those. On a card, I want you to think about how much time do you usually have with that person and what do you do with that time? So just in seven things or less, what do you guys do? Do you guys pray together? Do you catch up? Do you study the Bible? What activities do you do with that time? Just go ahead and just write it out. All right, and if you are still writing, that's fine, but if you're done, why don't you just share, what are some of the things, activities you do? First of all, what kind of meeting did you write down, but what activities did you do in that meeting?
So I'm meeting with two younger women in our church, unfortunately only monthly because that's all the time we can find to meet together, but mm-hmm. we meet for about 2 hours, and we start out sharing highs and lows.
Yep.
From the week or the month mm-hmm. or whatever, we're in contact texting between there. But
yep.
Thanks. Then we pray,
mm-hmm.
And then we study passages of scripture together, and then we share prayer requests, and then we pray for one another.
Cool. All right. Anyone else? What kind of meeting did you write down, and what do you guys do in that meeting?
I put the same thing. I was basically, you just read my card. it's mentoring, and we do the prayer requests. We talk a little bit, then we pray. And we go for about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. We start our study. We discuss discuss Jesus and his word always, and the scriptures that what we're studying brings to mind.
Yeah.
And then pray. And we're good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to share?
Mine's similar. It's a Bible study, but the pattern is the same. We talk. And I wrote connect because I think even just how's the family is really important part of the relationship. And then study whatever the scripture was or whatever the study was for that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And then prayer is always a part of it.
Anyone else?
Yeah, pretty much the same theme all around, but there's always some sort of just fellowship with just talking about life and highs and lows and things like that, and prayer and getting in the word, whether like with our family group, it's a little more structured, but if it's just like getting coffee with someone, it's more of just like a, may just be like a verse or
mm-hmm.
not getting too deep depending on the situation, but.
Cool.
I'd say the same kind of combination of that and what you all are doing. And depending on the context, too, or what the situation is. Sometimes
sure.
it's like a more formal
yeah.
session. Like somebody calls me up and they're like, I want to talk about our marriage. So, you know, I want to just immediately at least have a couple hours to
yeah.
work on that. But then, like our small group, we just get together in our home. And usually I like it a little more structured, but like
yeah.
this week it was just crazy. It was all over.
Sure.
But we're in the Bible. I mean, it's always,
yeah.
and so we spend time to pray
yeah.
and read the scriptures, and they, it was like, bing, 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 and I'm like, oh.
I bring this up. This is sometimes, we don't often think about if I have an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours of family group, what are the activities that we should be doing? Sometimes something we don't really pay a lot of close attention to. We will pay a lot of attention on what are we going to teach or what are we going to study, right? So this is just a time to think. Let's think intentionally about what we do and just to cast a little vision. Jesus and his ministry was starting out, Mark chapter 1. He's proclaiming the gospel. He goes into Galilee. And Mark chapter 1, verse 17, this is where he calls Peter and Andrew. They're in their fishing boat. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And just to cast a little vision, you know, that's really a picture of discipleship. That, like, just looking at this coin, right? The head just reminds me that Jesus is head, he is Lord, right? So that as I follow Jesus, you know, he is my king, he is my boss. You know, I'm looking to Jesus to lead my life. And as I do that, he says, right, that he will make me become fishers of men. And fishers of men, you know, for Peter and the apostles, right, was meaning that they were to make disciples as well. They were proclaiming the same gospel. They were taking part of the same ministry that Jesus was modeling. And really, that's part of our identity. As followers of Jesus, as we put God first in our life, as we look to Jesus first in his life, he's going to do a work in us, which is making us fishers of men. This is not something that we conjure up by our own strength. It's really God's work in our lives. That God's work in our lives is as we follow Jesus by faith, right? As we grow in him, he's going to make us into something, someone who is fishing for others. So as we are growing in the area of thinking about discipleship and specifically biblical counseling, this is a journey, right, that as we're putting Jesus first, that is flowing out into the lives of others and that we're fishing for others, right? We're fishing for men. So just remember that this is something that God does in us. It is not something that we do. As we follow Jesus, right, he's going to be making us into these people, right, who are loving neighbor itself, right? So let's then look at some passages of scripture, just two in particular. So the first one is when Jesus's disciples come to himself, and I quoted this when we were in there, but that's in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. So Jesus called his apostles to be with him, and so he can send them out to preach. He sends them out to preach the gospel and to heal. And they come back in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And would someone just go ahead and read that?
And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught.
All right, so Jesus is taking accountability from his disciples. They were out. They were preaching. They were teaching, right? And so what areas does Jesus take accountability?
Their actions and their words.
Yeah, their actions and their words. And just to pick your guys' brain, what do you think about what kind of things do you think they might have reported to Jesus? Looking at the action side, you know, obviously they told him everything he taught, but maybe what are some of the things he might have told Jesus about what they did?
Is there another passage? It is in a different gospel where they're like pretty impressed that they're casting out demons and stuff, and so doing some of that.
That's right, Luke chapter 10, when the 72 come back, right, and they were rejoicing and said that even the demons are subject in your name, right? Yep.
He kind of corrects that.
He does. That's right. He says, don't rejoice in this, right? Rejoice that your names are in heaven. That's right. Yep. Yeah, so the activities like, you know, the casting out demons, right? Where they went, you know, maybe whose house they stayed at, you know. It could have been any number of things, right? But the point is that we're looking at Jesus took accountability, not merely what their doctrine was, right, what they were teaching. Jesus did care about that. He also looked at the way he was spending time with them.
How did you do it?
Yeah, how did you do it? Mm. What did it look like, right? Mm. And let's look at one more verse. Let's see. I think it's in... Oh, I'm like drawing a blank on where it is now. It's where Jesus, in Mark, where Jesus calls his disciples to himself that they might be with him and send him out to preach. Okay. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Why doesn't someone go ahead and read that?
And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach.
All right. So he's calling the 12 apostles, right? So what is he calling these apostles to do? Okay, he's going to send them out to preach, and what else?
Go with him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In Jesus' ministry, you see this pattern of the disciples, the people that he's equipping, right? Especially the 12. But you see also with the 72 in Luke 10. The disciples are coming to Jesus, right? They're spending time with him. And then he's sending them out on assignments to preach, to teach, to look for a person of peace, to look for the worthy person, right? And then they're coming back, and there's that accountability, the time with Jesus, they're learning from Jesus, they're hearing him teach, and then they're going out, right? And so you have this kind of like breathing in and out of disciples. So what I want to share with you is called the three-thirds process. This has been first formulated by a missionary in China named Ying Kai. He was just a little background. He was a really successful church planter in Taiwan. Then he went to this unreached place in China where a bunch of factory workers were. Him and his wife, on average, they were making about 20 to 40 disciples a year and starting one church on average a year in Taiwan. Very fruitful ministries. God was using them. But they were broken with the lostness in China. And they realized that even if they could double up their efforts and it could be doubled, that it's not going to make a dent in 19 million people. So what they did is they intentionally spent their time in, if you're lost, they shared the gospel with you. If you're saved, and they trained you how to make disciples. And people they shared the gospel with that became followers of Jesus, immediately they trained them to make disciples. And the training was always twofold, right? Following Jesus and fishing, right? Growing in Christ and reaching out to others, right? Learning and teaching, you know, applying and doing, right? And so the three-thirds process has since been used all over the world. And in fact, the majority of church planting movements that are healthy, reproducing disciples, churches, and leaders is using some form of what we're going to talk about today. And this, the reason why this is helpful for biblical counseling is because it's intentional biblical framework that's highly adaptable that you can make adjustments to. But I think it's just a helpful guideline. Okay. So in following Jesus' pattern, basically what you do in the three-thirds is you'll split up your meeting time in roughly three chunks, right? First third is you're looking back. This is your time of accountability. You're looking back at the past week. How are you doing? Right? What happened since we last met? You have a time of looking up. So you're looking up to God, right? So you're getting the scriptures together. You're practicing the skill. Then it's time of looking forward, saying, how am I going to trust God, take steps of faith in obedience to what I'm learning this next week, right? And then so week after week, you have this looking back, looking up, and looking forward. And what we found is that there's several important ingredients in each of these sections. And I'll just go over them briefly, okay? So the first one is a time of care. Care is really just, how are you doing, right? So Tracy, you said like highs and lows, right? What's a good thing that happened this week? What's a bad thing that happened this week? There's lots of different ways you can do it. Even just in counseling, someone walks in, is like, "What's going on, man? How you doing?" Right? You're genuinely just caring for them. You're listening to them, right? The other important ingredient is accountability. We touched on this already. Right, that Jesus, right, listened to everything that they taught and did. And accountability really, in essence, needs to be twofold. It's how did you obey, right? How did you follow by faith what you learned? And how did you also, in a sense, reach out, right? How did this flow out in your interaction with others, right?
Now I'm doing we've been studying Philippians.
Yeah.
And talking about joy,
yeah,
and finding joy and choosing joy,
yeah,
in the midst of life, yeah, hard life,
right?
And so, yeah, so weekly, kind of, we touch base with
how did you see joy this week or choose joy this week or whatever.
Right.
Haven't been doing the second part. How are you sharing that with?
Yeah. And usually it's helpful to do both ends, right? Because it's not just about you and Jesus in a corner, mm-hmm. right? This is also that abide in Christ, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, you're going to produce fruit for the glory of God. It's not your work, right? But again, you want to keep pointing to that identity, right? Followers of Jesus, fishers of men, abiding in Christ, bearing fruit for his glory, loving God, loving neighbor, right? That's that. We're keep pointing to that. So a time of accountability where you're just saying, so here's what you wanted to do, right, by faith this week. How did it go, man? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's like, oh, I miss these opportunities. And sometimes it's like, yeah, this happened, right? The other important ingredient, which is often missed, is vision casting. Vision casting is kind of like what we were talking about, union with Christ, pointing to your identity. I even did it here with the coin, right? It's your basically exhorting with Scripture, this is who you are in Christ, and this is what God can do through you, right? Vision casting is important because if you don't have vision casting, and it's just how are you doing and how did you do, you're focusing on your performance, you're focusing on your condition, you're focusing on how you feel. What you want to point people to is who you are in Christ and what you believe God can do through you by his power, not yours. You want to lift their eyes right to Jesus and what God could do through them, because you want to be able to look to God and to move forward by faith, not based on how you're feeling or what you did. Right? If you did really well in your goals, you don't want pride. And if you failed, you don't want to, you know, just be stuck in the mud. You want to always be lifting people's eyes up to Jesus, right? So, on the looking up portion, right, you want a new lesson. New lesson? That doesn't make sense. Okay. New lesson, okay? So this is, and in counseling especially, if you can have a new lesson based off of how they're doing and kind of what their appropriate next step is, you know, all the better, right? So new lesson, you're going to Scripture, and you're digging into God's Word, and you're helping them deal with the issue or the next step of faith or the thing that they need to help them to get unstuck and following Jesus by faith. One thing I do recommend for the new lesson, as much as possible, don't just teach, but try to help people to discover as well. You know, so don't just fire hose information, right? But really dig into Scripture. So, for example, if that person is just not competent in a prayer life or praying with his family, instead of just fire hosing everything you know about prayer, which is sometimes like our temptation, right? Maybe just focus on the Lord's Prayer, or maybe just focus on like one example and walk through it with them. And this goes to the next point, is you need a new lesson, but you also need practice. You need to practice a skill or a discipline, spiritual discipline, right? Or an application that they're going to be able to carry into the next week, right? Very often this is missed. We think if I just give them the new lesson, then they'll go do it. That's not always true. So if you're teaching prayer, spend time modeling prayer together, right? If you're teaching dealing with anger, do a walkthrough. All right, when you get home, this is what's going to happen, because this is what always happens. What are you going to do, right? And then she's going to say this. Then what are you going to do, right? And then how do you see yourself in that moment? How are you going to see yourself in that moment? What are you going to believe God is going to do, or what are you going to trust God to do in that moment when this happens again, right? You're walking through. So through practice, you're helping them build confidence and competence, right, to take that step of faith, for the next step. And then the looking forward part is you're setting goals, right? And these are specific action steps, right? So I'm going to try to start praying with my wife. Or I'm going to go talk to this person and try to forgive them.
So it's more than just I'm going to try to pray more.
Yes, like because that you cannot, it's that's difficult to take accountability for, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So an example in my scenario is that the last time we met, I only had one of the gals there, but I asked her if she would be comfortable praying, thanking God for our highs.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
And then leading into the study of the word, and she said, "Yeah, I'm really not comfortable with that yet." And I said, "Well, how about if that's the goal for next month, that you would just be willing to just pray and thank God for our time together?"
That's right. And you've modeled it with her before. Mm-hmm. She knows what it looks like because you've done it before. That's the next step that she can take. That's great. Yeah, that's good. So, yeah, you want to set specific goals that you can actually take accountability on, right? So you're going, what are you going to do by faith, right? And you want them to be faith goals, not, right, not based on their performance or their feeling, but based on who you are in Christ and what God can do through you. And based on that, what do you want to attempt for God by faith to grow, right? You want it, so that's why vision casting, again, keep going back to this, is so important, because you want to help people set goals that are by faith, that are high enough that they might even probably fail, but they're just gonna, they're just committed to, I'm gonna just attempt this for Jesus, right? And then you spend a time in just commissioning, with prayer, commissioning with prayer. You're really just commending and committing, right, these goals to God, and just asking that God, it's by your help, by your grace, right? We want to attempt this for you. So you're just committing it to God. Okay? So, let me ask you, do you need any clarification in any of these parts? Because what I'm going to ask you is, what parts do you feel like you're doing, and what parts do you feel like you don't do?
So can you give me an example of the practice under? So,
yeah.
Let's say you share a new lesson on anger, you know, dealing with anger. Or
yeah.
Or maybe that's just meeting with somebody at coffee about anger.
Yeah.
So you give a new lesson.
Yeah.
True. It's conversational. So illustrate for me, like, give me an example of what the practice would look like.
Okay. Sometimes it could depend on the lesson.
Yeah.
If you can use a lesson into your practice, it can. So I don't know what passage you would want to go to if someone's dealing with anger. But a simple way to do practice is to role play. So okay. Where, you know, so like role play is very simple. It's like, when do you get angry? Right? When does that happen? Right? Is it when someone cuts you off on the road? Is it when you get home? Right, and you need to put your kids to bed. Is it, when is it, right?
What, so let's say I respond and say it's when I'm on the road and traffic and things are crazy. That's when I get so frustrated. So in that moment, you're going to drive me home. Like, we're going to role play that out.
So in that moment, you're going to play it. So in that moment, you know, what are you feeling? Why do you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that moment, who are you in Christ? Mm. What can God do through you in that moment, right? Those problems that lead you to anger, how could those be opportunities that God's giving you to grow, right? And so in that moment, what are you going to go to? How are you going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just a very simple way to practice is just to role play.
Yeah.
We see this in Luke chapter 10. Jesus is sending the 72. He gives them very specific instructions. Here's what to bring. Here's what not to bring. Mm-hmm. Here's what to do. If they do this, you do that. Mm-hmm. If they welcome you, you go in.
So
if they give you food, you eat what's set before you. Mm-hmm. If they don't receive your message, you shake the dust out of your feet and you go to the next town. If you find a house of peace, don't go house to house. Stay in that house. He's role playing. He's like, this is what happens. This is what happens if it's like this. This is what happens like that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's real practical practice together. Right? And so when he sends the disciples out, they have confidence and competence of what they're doing. This is what I do. I say peace to this house. They're either going to let me in or they're not. They're either going to receive it or they're not. If they do, this is what I need to do. If they don't, this is what I need to do. Right? So it's very practical role playing. And often this is a piece that's missed because we think if we just give them fire hose the truth on them, they'll know how to work that out. You often need to journey with them to show this is how it works into your specific challenges, right? What other pieces? I'll just ask you guys, just based on the list that you made, what parts do you probably not do well, do you think? Do you guys care?
Usually.
You care usually? Okay. Do you guys do accountability?
I get a lot of wavering,
you know? I think that's missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, but when they say, no, I haven't really done that, then I don't know what to do from that point on. I mean, because, you know, you're holding them accountable. You're asking them, but how do you really hold another person if they're not doing what they're supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know? So.
So when that's the answer, no, I haven't done it, do you stay on that topic for another week, month, whatever the period is? Or do you?
You can. And a lot of people do. You can either say, this is important, so we're just going to stick here to help you get unstuck for this. Or you can say, we need to circle back around to this. So sometimes people are stuck and you just need to plow through it, right? And say like, oh, we didn't get it this week. We're going to work on it again, right? Sometimes it's like people are stuck in a couple areas and it's like, well, let's now try to focus on this other area, see if this can get dislodged. We're going to have to come back to this, though. And I think it's just a matter of just seeking Lord's wisdom in that. Mm-hmm. But you could do either way, right?
I agree on that. I will always send up a prayer. Help, Holy Spirit, tell me what to say.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's you cannot make another person do the homework.
Yes.
I mean, it's up to them and to kind of help them see why it's so important to do that. You know, what benefit they'll get from it. So,
and here's one suggestion, though. When you're setting goals, are you setting the goals? Or are they setting the goals? Are they obeying you, or are they obeying Jesus?
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Very often, especially in counseling, I don't think there's anything wrong with assigning specific homework, but I think it's very empowering and important to at least have them set some goals for themselves.
Yeah.
Because you want them to own this. This is how I personally am going to try to take my baby step of faith, right, in progress, you know, based off of who I am in Christ and what I believe God can do with me. This is where I'm going to try to step forward, and I might fall. But if they do that, they're going to own that.
You leave room for the Holy Spirit to create some of those goals and because if I'm the one that's always doing it, well, I may be right, but I may also just be very my-centered on what
I think
they need. To,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And, you know, it might be, you know what, you might think you need to pray with your wife. Mm-hmm. And that's probably true. He needs to pray with his wife. Mm-hmm. But for him, the step forward is he needs to talk to a buddy of his about this and share what he's learning and process it with another brother. I mean,
you wouldn't know that unless
you're just like, what do you need to do? Now, you want to help them to make sure that they're setting goals that are faith-based, not based on what you think you can do, but what you want to attempt for Jesus. And you want it to be specific so that you can go back to accountability. And vision casting needs to be that safety net. Because they're going to come back beat up with challenges, having failed at their God-sized goals, but you want to catch them because it's not about their performance. It's you took a step of faith, praise God. Even if they got a million things wrong, if they did one or two things by faith, you're just like, that's awesome. God is working in you, and you keep pointing back to your identity and what God can do through you. Because you don't want this to be a slavish, discouraging time, but it's very important that it's there. Very often, we don't have accountability because when we do, it's depressing because we're not pointing to vision casting, or it's just uncomfortable. Nobody likes accountability. So. Any other thoughts? So, usually what I find is that in most meetings, there's no
strong accountability. There's no clear vision casting. There's no practice. And there's commissioning, like, you know, we're all in each other's corners, we're gonna go out and keep chugging along, but the goals that are set are not faith-based and specific. And generally, these are the parts of discipleship that really God uses to help people grow. Because adults really learn two ways: crisis and discovery. Right? It's kind of like, and in biblical counseling, you have an advantage because there's a crisis in their life, and they're feeling conviction, and they need help, and so they're in a posture to learn, right? And so you want to give them, right, steps forward to help them to pick up their identity in Christ, to learn and to practice a new skill, to set goals, to attempt that by faith, and knowing that they're going to be held accountable. So they're going to attempt that, knowing that you're not just assigning homework and not going to check on it. Right?
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Preacher, pastor mode, you know.
Yeah, please.
But sermons are counseling. And like, so,
yeah.
And I'm thinking every aspect of the gathering of the saints on a Sunday morning is in some form counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we participate in the Lord's Supper, I mean, there's examination and confession of sin. I mean, that's discipleship, that's counseling. The sermon, obviously. I think I get caught up on this new lesson. That's really just where I stay, a sermon.
What tends to happen is that tends to, in most Bible studies or even, you know, worship times, sure, right? This is a model for house churches in India as well, right?
Yeah.
There's only one additional ingredient that we would add to the care part, and that's also worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you worship, Lord's Supper, all these kinds of things. But apart from that, this is the meaning. So new lesson and teaching tends to dominate, you know, everything. Often what we try to shoot for in discipleship is, what if you shot for closer to something like a 1-to-1 ratio of what you help them see in the Bible, what they learn from Scripture? Is that something that they can also explain to others, teach to others, and apply to their life? And if you give more than that, right, then that might be less than helpful, right? And maybe there is more. Maybe give that to them as homework. So instead of spending all your time on every verse on anger, go on one, study it together, model like Bible study. Like, this is how you would study the Scripture. Observation, heavy observation, interpretation. What does it mean? Application, what do you need to do? Okay, now I'm going to give you these other verses. And just as we did it together, think of those same questions and do that. And then on our accountability time, I want you to teach me what you've learned. Have you done this, right?
So I'm thinking, Sunday morning, I'm going to start the sermon off with, okay, who wants to raise a hand and tell me how you applied the sermon last week? Here's your new lesson. Somebody come up here. Let's roll this out. For homework today, you need it. Like, who gives homework at the end of their sermon? I'm going to.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
And you know what? I mean, you give homework. You can also say, you know, take a moment, pray to God. What is one thing you're going to stop doing because it's not by faith? And one thing you're going to start doing by faith.
So you're helping them establish that goal.
You're helping them set their goal, and then you're saying, who are you and who are you going to tell? Write it down. Write it down.
Yeah.
You know, throw in the basket. Or who are you going to tell what your goal is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how are they going to help you?
So that creates the accountability. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
so. There's different ways to do it. And like I said, what's great about this is that this doesn't have to be a slavish or mechanical thing. It's a guideline to suggest that examine the way you spend time with other disciples, whether you're in a Bible study, leading in a Bible study, where you're counseling, doing one-on-one. This is very helpful to think through, am I using my time well? Or am I just, because we tend to follow any pattern that we see, right? And so our Bible studies tend to be like every other Bible study we see in America.
We all said the same thing.
Right? Which is, yeah, we all said the same thing.
Yeah.
We shoot the breeze. How you doing? We do some prayer requests. We spend a lot of time on the new lesson. We pray for each other.
Yeah.
Boom, done. And we do none of the activities that Jesus did with his disciples, right, that empowered and encouraged them to lift their eyes on this amazing vision of who they are in Christ and what God can do through them and give them specific ways to begin walking that path by faith through practice and helping them set goals and sending them out and commissioning them out to do it. And then in loving accountability, seeing, right, the what God is doing in their life and focusing in on their steps of faith, not necessarily their performance, and going back to vision again, that it's all about your identity. It's about, this is why we're getting together. It's not a powwow. It's not, you know, a club. It's about us growing, right, in this, who we are in Christ and what God can do through us, right? And it's going to be this kind of pattern when this is week in, week out, or month in, or month out. This God uses this to help people to grow in obedience to Jesus. But it also filters people out who are not, right, open to it. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's okay. Because you only have so much time the Lord has given you to invest in people, right? And you cannot change people's hearts. You cannot change people's receptivity. You cannot change the soil, right? But you can invest your time where God is working. And the only way to find that is take them to Scripture, take them to the gospel, take them to a vision of who they are in Christ and what God could do through them. Encourage them to take steps of faith towards that, and they'll either continue on or they'll filter out and journey with people as long, as far as they're willing to go. Okay.
That's 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll get impatient, especially toward the end of that, or when I hear the accountability and they say, well, I really didn't focus on it. I didn't have time. So many things. You know, I'm like, so I got to remind myself of this. Be patient with me. Is the Lord patient with me?
Yeah.
So right. Can I be patient with the chance?
Right. That's right. And I would encourage you to really hammer that vision. So here, I just wrote this up on the three-thirds process. You guys can take a copy. You know, it's all written out there. On the back, if you want to dig a little bit more into this, three-thirds discovery exercise. Yeah. I would encourage you. I'm not assigning this officially as homework. Study Luke 10. You know, read the descriptions of these parts. Study Luke 10 and make observation of where you see Jesus providing care, accountability, where he's casting vision, the new lesson that they're learning, how practice is involved in Jesus's teaching, what are their specific goals, and what's their commissioning with prayer. And there are some digging deeper questions about how these different parts kind of work together in developing his disciples. And I would just say,
how are we doing on time?
Where are we supposed to end?
11:15 is the next break.
Okay, 11:15, 15 minutes. Okay. Think about what are some of the amazing lessons or revelations that disciples learned? And how many of those were learned through discovery, not Jesus telling them?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus, you know. You were the Messiah.
Master question asker. Yeah.
Yeah. You were the Messiah.
Yeah.
Right? What does Jesus say? Right? Flesh and blood did not reveal this. Right? Even in the 72, Luke 10, this amazing things happen. Right? They come back rejoicing. Even the demons are subjected in your name. You know why this is such a great breakthrough? Look at Jesus' training. Jesus didn't tell them what to do with evil spirits. He told them to heal the sick, proclaim the gospel, look for the house of peace. He didn't say what to happen with evil spirits. The only thing they knew is maybe what they saw Jesus do.
I was going to say, yeah, what right? they saw. Exactly. Yeah.
So just imagine this crisis. They're out there trying, you know, they're proclaiming the gospel, God's healing, you know, the kingdom of God is being manifested in that sense. And then, you know, demons turn their head around and the disciples are freaking out. Saying, we don't know what to do. Right. But then at the mention of the name of Jesus, right, the demons are subjected to them and they come back with this amazing discovery. Wow. You know, and that led them to learn something even more about the supremacy of Christ, that it's not merely Jesus's holiness and his presence that casts away Jesus demons, but it's his very name. And it's the very fact that their names are written in heaven and they belong to Jesus, and under Jesus' authority, the demons were subjected to them. This revelation that they come to realize through that crisis. During accountability, they report that. And then what does Jesus do? He casts vision. And in that gives gentle correction, right? Don't rejoice in your performance that the demons were subjected to you. Rejoice that your name is written to heaven. And in that moment, Jesus worships the Father, praises the Father in the Holy Spirit. You see the whole Trinity here. And saying, I thank you, Father, that you reveal these not to the wise and learned, but to like little children. And that was your good pleasure. Think about the lessons that the disciples learned, not because Jesus was just dumping teaching all the time, but he allowed them to discover, right, who he was. And he used discovery and he used crisis to help them grow and develop as his disciples. So let me ask you guys, what steps can you take? What steps can you take in applying this? In what you're currently involved in, or leading, or doing, or what you want to do? And notice, I didn't do it perfectly, but generally I did follow this outline in this meeting too.
Yeah.
Notice
yeah.
that? I didn't do care, but we did accountability, right? How do you spend your time? Vision, right? Identity in Christ. Lesson, we did spend a little bit of time in Scripture, not a whole lot, right? But it's a little bit. It's enough to hammer the main point. When the practice part is us working through this outline. Now we're talking about, okay, how can we use it?
He's counseling us.
Yeah, he is.
He's sneaky that way.
Well, that's the thing. As you guys learned, this is, you can look at it on a whiteboard, but this is more better caught than taught.
Yeah.
Right? And then really what we're talking about is setting healthy DNA. Because the way we do Bible study today is we really just do it that way because that's what we've seen. Right? And so what could we do to be more intentional with our time in counseling and discipleship and one-on-one time and mentorship is let's go back to the way Jesus prioritizes time. You could use this as a helpful guide, right? But let's keep looking at how we're using our time and reset healthy DNA.
Because that can catch on. Even just copy with a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even just copy with a friend.
Yeah. You know.
How are you doing? How did you do?
And then
it's like, oh man, point him to Jesus. Yeah. Have some vision, right? Yeah. Praise God. It's not about how we feel and about how we did, but this is who we are in Christ. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Hey, could we look at a passage of scripture that might be encouraging for us? What did you learn from that? What did you learn about God? And so, How can we use that? How does that apply to this issue that you're facing, right? Let's practice about how that would work out, right? All right, so what are you going to try to attempt by faith? Let's commit that to God.
That's the process. See you next month. How are you going to do this?
Yeah, right. Or if it's a month, it's like you're checking in with a text or a phone call,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's so much richer. Yeah, I mean, your relationships become so much richer.
Yeah.
And your time together is centered mm-hmm. on God's word and what he's doing in you and what you're doing for him and through him, and then just, you know, hey, so how's family?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then we dump on each other. And
yeah, you definitely have to have, I don't know if you want to call it a goal, but you need to have the vision of how it's going to go. I mean, I always have the vision of how I, you know, pray, and then you think about, okay, God, how is it you want this to go? Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that the goal, God has really worked in my life about goal setting and how important that really is for each one of us. I mean, to have your spiritual goals and your goals, like your health and, mm-hmm. you know, just different goals and how God can use that in your life. And also sharing that with someone else and the accountability in order to really help someone else, you need to be able to have your stuff straight. Not that you're ever going to be perfect, but to be able to help a younger woman, so to speak, like we're doing, you know, in order to you need to have the vision of how you want your session to go with them and how important that is. And the lesson, I mean, just looking at this, it all flows together.
Yep.
And to have your flow and be able to have that vision, I mean, to me.
But you also have to be sensitive.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
and like, like I said, this is flexible, and sometimes you miss parts, and sometimes, like,
absolutely.
It's not meant to be.
No,
but it is meant to be. It's kind of like sails the sailboat, right? Are all the sails up?
Exactly.
Right?
We have
the rudder to point to Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're checking our bearings, but we're also looking at our sails. Are we intentionally spending time that are going to help forward momentum by faith?
Absolutely. Right? And that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus and how are we, you know, living our lives.
And I think to clarify something you said too about goal setting, mm-hmm. Or accountability, mm-hmm. is sometimes there's a propensity, even when you look at like the example videos, you know, of counseling, it's like they're giving them goals, but the accountability also is one way. If it's possible, which it is, I mean, it should be, set goals too.
Yes.
This is
how,
what is what I'm going to do.
Be an example.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
And you participate in accountability. Mm-hmm. And you be open about how you did or didn't.
I did not. Exactly.
And you set big, high goals for yourself that are faithful, and they could see you not get fully to your high goals, right?
Exactly.
But you're making that attempt. And you both fall back on that, you know, safety net of the vision that this is who we are in Christ, mm-hmm. and we're trusting in what God can do through us, and it's not based on us. Right?
Absolutely.
And if you keep doing that, you're
you're
modeling, you're showing for them, and you're creating an environment that's not dependent on you.
Yeah. It's right? so important for somebody else to see that you are not perfect.
Yes.
I mean, even though you are out there and you are trying to help them, you know, it's just it goes back to Christ and how what he is doing in your life and how he is using you and how they can then go on and help someone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have to feel like they have to be perfect.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good mentoring is not top down. I listen when they say good mentoring is journeying along with someone.
Exactly.
Right?
It is. It
and
really
so really,
is.
If you can.
Yeah. It really is.
Mutual accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mutual goal
exactly.
setting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I was thinking about a couple that I'm meeting with for some marriage counseling.
Yeah.
And I think I did this, but it was more of like a, you know.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know that I had any order to it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I appreciate what you said. It's not it's not like a regiment.
Yeah, it's not a regiment. It's not a script. Yeah. And a lot of, if you look at good counseling, mm-hmm. and good discipleship, this happens intuitively.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just kind of
organic.
Comes
you know, and sometimes like, you've seen it happen intuitively organic,
yeah.
right? But you do not.
Yeah.
But it's just, this is just a good framework to keep going back to because we forget that or we don't always notice. That's why that discipleship was awesome. When I was young, when I was in college, we actually had accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it wasn't, and it got bad when it was just like, did you do that thing again that you weren't supposed to do? Yeah, I did that, you know. But it's like when we were exciting and taking steps of faith and not just like, you know, this, you know, whatever, begrudging, slavish,
you know, time where I just keep admitting that I suck, right? But instead it was like, dude, God is awesome. This is what I'm going to try to do. Exactly. Oh, it was hard, but I tried, I did it, da, 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 da. And it's like, that's when it was good, when it was loving accountability, where there's vision there, right? So a lot of this already happens intuitively, but what we lack is the intentionality to set healthy DNA, because we want that to catch on.
I guess there's been times where I've noticed that I was trying to set the example, even in like authentic, like, listen, my wife and I, we just had this argument.
Yeah.
So even though I'm counseling you, this, here's what we learned through that, you know, so, to set that. But then also, I mean, it's not like you're banging your own drum or tooting your own horn or whatever, but to clarify to them that, okay, I'm not just sharing that example for you to be authentic or real. Okay, great. We're all real. I mean, but I'm sharing that with you to say, here's a goal for you.
Yeah.
You know, to communicate that somehow.
Right.
I think that's where stuff I can learn, because a lot of times I'll just say it and I think, well, yeah, they'll catch that. I mean, they'll do that.
Yeah.
I assume way too much. I mean,
cool. So going back to the original question of the goals, so what can you do? Maybe you can't put all these pieces in. Maybe there's a piece or two you feel like you're really missing that you can work in. So what can you work in that would be healthy, either in a group you're leading or a relationship that you have?
Do you think, like, for example, if you're discipling someone, it would be a good idea to kind of, like, teach them this process and go through, like, each step and, like, kind of check it off, like, okay, we've done that, so that when eventually, you know, you send them out to be a fisher, they can reach out in that way, too?
Yeah, yeah, and so in India, like, we have done that. Again, I would always stress that it is always caught. It's better caught. But it's better a little bit more on the back end to go, like, this is kind of like we go back to this to make sure that we're on track. So I think it is good. You can teach them this, and you can even model it. And just like I'm saying, like, did we do these parts even in this meeting? For the most part, yeah, you know, we did to some degree these parts. So just, you know, so I'm pointing that saying, like, see how naturally this meeting flowed together. It wasn't, didn't feel really weird. So yeah, definitely you could. So I think that would be a great step. You know, show her the 3/3, kind of just adapt kind of what you took from this meeting, do your own version of it with her. And then maybe invite her if you want to intentionally, hey, let's just, you know, just stick to this pattern and let's just do this together for a while and see what happens, right? And that's really what I would encourage you guys to do. Like, just try to wear this where you can, in the type of meetings or the one-on-one sessions or the discipleship or the small groups or the worship services, right? As much as you can, try to wear this and just see where it takes you, right? And like I said, just keep going back to Scripture. If you see Jesus doing these kinds of things, you know, that's what it's all about. It's not about that it's developed by missionaries. It's not about the fruitfulness of it. It's about, is it faithful to Jesus, right? And are we taking good stewardship of our teaching, but also, right, what we're doing with people, with the little time that we have. All right. Any other goals?
I think adding in the, like, being more specific in the goal setting portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know that our, like,
I don't know that our, like, I feel like that's kind of where our prayer request ought to, like, like, this is what I've learned from the scripture, and now this is what I want to do with it, so this is how I want you to pray for me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I don't feel like that's all so connected at this point in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so guiding things that way.
Yeah, guiding things that way.
Which also helps with the accountability when you come back together.
You can always just ask when someone shows up, go, is that obeyable? If it's not obeyable, it's not really, you know, how could we encourage you and check in on you, right? So you want to do that, what, in your family group?
Well, I would say in my, well, yes, but Mike's in charge there. So
take an extra one for Mike.
But yeah, I mean, I'm specifically thinking about like the mentoring relationship, also just, you know, I have just a couple of friends that I meet regularly with, just catch up and stuff, and that, you know, we could make our time more intentional in what we're doing for each other and with each other by just asking some different questions. And
I'm thinking a little bigger, like he is, because we're going to be, this is hot off the press, going to be doing a women's event. And I've been thinking about it all morning because Pastor Dew and I just talked about it this morning, but this is a great model. This is exactly the model we have to follow. Mm-hmm. We have to hit each of these things. And so that's what's kind of rolling through my head is, with a bigger group, like you're talking about, how to hit each of those things to make it the most as meaningful as possible.
Yeah.
Because again, limited time, that's going to be a day. So.
Right. Yep. All right, we're out of time. Let me pray for you all. For some of you who shared some steps you want to take, we're going to commend this to Jesus, right? These are things that we're trying to take a step forward in faith and just obedience to him. So let's just pray. Let me just pray for you, us all. Thank you for this time, God. Thank you for giving us an example in Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. Thank you for our identity in you. And we belong to you because of Jesus and his sacrifice. Thank you also that we are not left without an example. Thank you that being in Christ, you are making us into fishers of men, and that you're extending your grace into other people's lives through us. We don't deserve this. This is an amazing, amazing thing we get to be a part of, God. And so I just pray for all the goals that we want to do and stepping forward in faithfulness and making the best use of our time for you. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would give us help to do that. And may we just celebrate together what you're doing and our attempts for you. And it's not about what we can do, but it's about your work in our lives. And so we just commend and commit these to you. And we thank you, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.